Both those circuses on the air.
The president doesn't.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Jennings.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
China's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And good morning, Mr. Dave Schwann.
Hey, Dave.
How's it going, buddy?
Well, my headphones are a little weird here. I've got one.
Sorry, my microphone is falling off.
And your microphone is falling off.
Yeah, I just did it again. And I just, you might want to tell somebody
up
in engineering.
Are they kicking us out early? What are they
doing? Yeah, that's what it is. They're sabotaging us.
Are they telling us to leave early?
They might be. They might be.
Roger says we're going to use flags next.
We might have to. Man, we got a lot of history this weekend. The big one, because it happens next weekend, Dave, is Chicago turns 181 next weekend.
181.
Yeah, 1837, mm-hmm. Of course. there we go. A little Frank. You got to have a little Frank when you're talking about Chicago. Officially became a city in 1837. Chicago, of course, largest city in the United States with a population of 2.7 million.
Third largest,
with New York at 8.5 and Los Angeles at 3.9. And where does the word Chicago come from? Do you know, Dave?
Chicago comes from a Native American term, Chicagua, which means place of the wild onion.
Yes, it says, which also is name given to wild onions, but it means striped skunk also.
Okay. It's stinky.
Yes, it was wild onions that grew near the Chicago River. That's correct. Chicago has many nicknames, including the Woody City, City of Big Shoulders, Second City, City That Works, of course. And the Windy City does not mean it's full of wind. It means it's about the politicians of the city.
Yeah, exactly. A writer, I think, in New York, when there was a intense competition as to where the 1893 Columbian Exposition was going to be, a New York writer said, never mind the long-winded politicians in Chicago. And this was looked at as the West at that time, not the Midwest.
But the West.
The West. When they built the Auditorium Theater building, there was an observation platform at the very top of the building, which was all of, 10, 12 stories?
Right,
but that was huge
at
140
that time.
Years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And it was kind of advertised as a place to view the wonders of the West.
The skyscraper, the first ever, was like the Tacoma building of Chicago, I think. It was a 13-story building in 1889. That was considered huge in Chicago.
Yep.
You know. Let's see here. We were the first elevated train, of course, in 1892. Inventions here in Chicago.
Some of the stations still look like they're from.
They do. We invented the roller skate, skyscrapers, cracker jabs, zippers, pinball, spray paint, softball, and the remote control. All done here in Chicago. Look at that.
Quite a list.
And the Twinkie. We can't eliminate the Twinkie.
Well, you still have it, don't you?
I still have it. Yeah.
Wow.
My apologies to our listeners for coughing throughout the show, but I can't. I've got bronchitis, and and I'm on three different types of meds, if I talk for more than 2 minutes, which you have to do on the show, by the way, Dave. You have to talk more than two minutes at a time. Yeah, exactly. let's see here. The first blood bank was founded here in Chicago in 1937. 1850, Chicago reversed the flow of the Chicago River to stop city waste from flowing into Lake Michigan, which is still to this day, of course, used for drinking water.
Folks downriver were not pleased about that.
No, but the reversal caused the city's typhoid death rate to drop by 80%.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
It got rid of raw sewage, which was dumped into the river.
That's awful. Woo. The Art Institute in Chicago. Here's another fun fact. Largest collection of impressionist paintings in the world outside of Paris.
I think that was partly due to very, very wealthy people like Mrs. Potter Palmer. I think her name was Bertha, as in the Palmer House. They went to Europe and were able to get these wonderful originals, you know, Monet and all of those people, and bring them back here. And how wonderful that they donated it to such a cause like that.
Right. Very cool.
Did you also know that the Art Institute, they moved it around different days of the week, but or different parts of the day. Well, there will have a place for free admission, open admission, and that was started because when they began the Art Institute, the average person out there, a typical worker, couldn't afford to come downtown, go to the Art Institute. So they said, you know what? We're going to have a free time.
I love that.
Where people can come in and see this.
That's very cool.
Because they otherwise would not be able to bring their families, you know. I like that. That was a marvelous idea.
Of course. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they still do that. I mean, February is a big month for that in general for museums to do that.
That's how it got started, though.
Love it. At the end of the 19th century, almost the entire city of Chicago was lifted. Buildings were raised over a period of 20 years in order to match the new street level, which was built up to accommodate a new sewage and draining system.
George Pullman was the engineer behind that.
Look at that.
Yep.
Great Chicago Fire, of course, happened in 1871, but trash and debris from that fire was used to fill in a portion of Lake Michigan to expand Chicago's Grant Park.
Yeah, so when you're walking on Grant Park, there's rubble from the fire underneath.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. There are more than 2,000 hot dog stands in the city of Chicago, more than the number of Burger Kings. 2,000. More than the number of Burger Kings, McDonald's, and Wendy's restaurants in the city combined.
I'll take a Chicago hot dog stand any day.
Absolutely. And I love it because everybody's got their own neighborhood one, you know? I mean, even though, you know, I live on the north side, I still go to Gene and Jude's. I will still continue growing up, that is my hot dog stand.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Superdog, too, but I mean, everybody's got
their... Oh, Superdog's great. That's some of the best shakes I've ever had.
Yeah. Oh. Superdog. Yeah. Yeah. Chicago style pizza first appeared in Chicago at Pizzeria Uno in 1943. And I have to say, Dewey, which is across the street, is my favorite pizza place in Chicago.
Do you detect the difference between the two in terms of the...
No, I just don't think
pizza?
I go to Uno's. I think a lot of people go to Uno's and it's always a little more crowded. I think Dewey is a little less crowded. That's why I go there.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Both of them are great spots, though.
Yep. Have you ever had Pequod's?
You know what? I did for the first time.
Yeah.
I like it. It's different.
I like it too.
It's definitely different.
Lou Manfredini is really into that.
He is. Yeah. I think Pete McMurray is too. Yeah, absolutely.
And Pete is, yeah.
Oldest house in Chicago?
The Clark House.
They say the Clark House, right. In 1836, it's been moved a couple times,
right?
That is
a cool place to go through.
But they say the Noble Seymour Crippen House in Norwood Park was built in 1833, but because Norwood Park wasn't annexed in Chicago until 1893, they really don't count that. But that is technically the oldest house in Norwood Park.
Norwood Park.
Yep.
Okay.
Look at that. Did you learn something today?
You always do.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Always do.
All right, 1849. We've talked about this before. It was the day that the U.S. had no president. One day. There you go. It was March 4th, a truly unusual piece of American history unfolded to this day. President-elect Zachary Taylor refused to be sworn in on that date as it was a Sunday. So Vice President-elect Millard Fillmore also would wait until the following day, perhaps because if Taylor wasn't going to show up, no one else would either. So as the term of President James Polk expired, he readily turned over the reins of the American presidential power to, well, no one, because... wouldn't be there. But some claim that David Rice Atkinson served as a de facto acting president for that day.
Was he Speaker of the House?
He had been elected to the Senate from Missouri and served
Senate.
As president pro tempore of the Senate for the 30th Congress. And under the Presidential Succession Act, he was the next in line at that time after the vice president. So by that logic, he was acting present, but not really. Because under the rules of the Senate, in effect at that time, if elected as president pro temp, to serve until the day adjourned, rather than being a continuous office as it is today, when the Senate was out of session, the president pro temp was technically a vacant job. So the 30th Congress adjourned, at which point Atkins' service was technically ended. So really, on that day, there was no president. Isn't that something? 1868, the University of Illinois opened to 77 students. 1876, Alexander Graham Bell was granted a patent for the telephone.
The local news of the week. At midnight Saturday, the telephones in this city will be changed to dial service, and all telephone numbers will be changed. Late this week, new directories will be delivered. Here are a few important suggestions for the use of your dial telephone. Before calling any number, first secure the number from your new directory. Then remove the receiver and listen for the dial tone. It sounds like this. That tone indicates everything is ready for your call. With the receiver off the hook, dial the desired number. For example, suppose you want to dial 23650. Dial each new.
Well, you weren't able to dial. I mean, you picked up the phone and got the operator.
Yeah, it was Andy Griffith.
It was Andy Griffith.
My house.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Andy Griffith, the Waltons, too.
And the Waltons.
Yeah, yeah. All right. 1899, Felix Hoffman patented the aspirin. Hoffman discovered that a compound called salicin found in willow plants provided pain relief. And here is in a classic commercial. Is this Bufferin? Bufferin still exists out there. I was looking actually at the Jewels the other day and saw that I didn't know if Bufferin, we were joking about that, a buddy of mine.
Bufferin and Bayer Aspirin.
Yeah.
I know Bayer is still out
Bayer,
there.
Bayer, of course.
But Bufferin is still there too.
Let's take a listen.
This is the sound of a human heart. It will beat 72 times in this minute. Every beat can be a painful throb if you have a headache. This pain remedy is Bufferin. The one doctors recommend by name more often than any other leading brand. Take two Bufferin, and every beat can mean your heart is pumping Bufferin's pain reliever through your bloodstream.
There you go. 1913, the IRS began. 1931, the Star Spangled Banner officially became the U.S. national anthem, written in 1814 by Francis Scott Key. It was recognized for official use by the Navy in 1889 and by President Woodrow Wilson in 1916. Here's my favorite rendition. This is Whitney Houston. January 27, 1991, and that was at the Super Bowl, and with the military band and orchestra. I have to say that listening to the Star Spangled Banner done over the last few weeks by a couple other people, and that jazz rendition that was done, and a few other things, and you know, the Roseanne back years ago. And
Roseanne.
Everybody tries to put their own spin on this. That was absolutely, I think, the most powerful rendition.
It was great.
Because Whitney Houston just had, yeah. You know, before she got tied up with that Bobby Brown man, she just had an amazing voice.
One of the things that make, in addition to Whitney being so strong, such a naturally strong singer, was the arrangement, the instrumental arrangement that goes on behind it. It's beautiful. It's
gorgeous, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a, I found on Facebook the other day, it was in my news feed, that there was, I think it was in Tennessee, that there were a choirs, high school choirs going to compete, you know, competition. And they were in a hotel that was open, like the floors were open about, you know, 20 stories. And all 25 of these choirs stood on different floors in the building and sang the national anthem at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And through the hotel, it was amazing to hear that. And that all those beautiful voices.
That would have been.
Like that, to wake up to that. Yeah. People were like coming out of the rooms like, holy smokes. You can find that on Facebook.
Wonderful.
I'm sure on YouTube as well. 1958, the hula hoop was invented. You know, of course, twirled around.
I had one.
Yeah. my daughter has one. She can still use that. Let's listen to a classic commercial.
Here comes the Shoop Shoop Hula Hoop and the Frisbee family of flying fun. Now, seven different Frisbees. Seven ways to discover the wonderful world of Frisbee flight. Frisbee, everybody's idea of a good...
Boy, they went right from the hula hoop to the Frisbee there. Two classic little toys there. 1962, Kmart opens. What is this commercial from? Let's take a listen.
I know a place.
Where life is good.
Where life is good.
Oh, I remember this.
A brand new place. In your neighborhood.
Your neighborhood.
Come to my place.
Where dreams come true.
My saving place can save a lot of dollars for you.
My saving place.
Kmart.
Is your
yes, it is.
I don't know if my dreams are coming true at Kmart, Dave, but... There's only, you know, I don't even know where there is one. There's one on Addison, I think.
Attention shoppers.
Attention Kmart shoppers.
The blue light special.
That's right. Okay. The blue light special. I forgot about that.
I took all my film for my very first camera to the photo department. What? Oh, Roger.
To Scrudlin's?
Roger said the shirt that he is wearing is from a Kmart.
No, it could be. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. 1963, also the year after, Jack and Elaine Mulqueen began hosting the Mulqueens on WGN-TV. Elaine Mulqueen appeared on stage as the pixie-like character named Pandora.
I remember the Mulqueens.
We have the costume at the Broadcast Museum.
Do you?
In 1965, it moved to WBKB, now WLS.
Right.
And it was named Kitty A Go Go. And the Four Seasons, the New Colony Six, this was on for a bunch of years, and
there's a forgotten group,
right?
Good group, New Colony Six.
But this was like an American Bandstand for little kids. Let's take a listen. Curtis, when you pulled this audio, did you see the kids dancing?
I did.
That's pretty wild, wasn't it? Yeah, that was a big show after school. 1978, the Chicago Daily News, founded in 1875, published its last issue. And it was, again, it was first published in 1876, 1983, the last broadcast of MASH on CBS TV.
Oh.
106 million people still remains in the top 10. Every other show, you know, most watched shows.
Yeah.
Is Super Bowl, but MASH ranks as number one as a regular TV series.
MASH,
and then rate. Cheers, and I think The Fugitive still ranks up there too.
Really, The Fugitive still up there.
Yep, still up
for
there.
That final episode.
Final episode.
Wow,
there you have.
Now,
it.
Now I remember seeing that, you know, when it was in, you know, on for the first time. I've tried to watch it when it's been run, you know, rerun in succeeding years.
Yeah,
just because it is so powerful.
It is absolutely. Yeah. We'll be right back.